Lecture topic, Injustice.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim wa salatu wa salamu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Allahumma la sahla illa ma ja'altahu sahla wa anta taj'alul hazana sahlan idha shi'ta la ilaha illa anta. Anta ala kulli shay'in qadir. Honorable scholars of deen, beloved brothers and listeners, a beautiful morning to meet you in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a great blessing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us on this day. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us increased love between ourselves. For indeed the ailment and the sickness of the Muslim ummah today is that we have more hate within us than love. And we are actually taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love one another. And to love the Muslim ummah, we are one jama'ah. We are going to be resurrected together inshallah with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Speaking about, as Sheikh has mentioned very correctly, the situation in any country, there are certain people who might, for some reason, these reasons are all connected to the dunya, portray the wrong image of the country to the outside world. Within one home, when people have a problem, each one wants to do down the other. So when they go out, they speak to the other people and they say, that one is bad. And the other one goes out and he speaks to the others and say, that one is bad. And we know how it works. That is the weakness of man. The same rule applies even outside the homes. You have two major companies doing down one another. The one will tell you the products of that company are weak, they are bad, the brands are not good. And the other will tell you, no, the brands of that company are not good for these reasons. And this is the dunya. It is just a battle between forces. And what has happened, this problem has gone as far as nations and countries. One country does not like another, it goes to the rest of the world and tries to force down the throats of the rest of the world that this country has weapons of mass destruction. And in the process, it goes and destroys the entire country, with a lot of the world keeping quiet, being gagged, most of them unable to do anything about it. That is the oppression that is occurring in the world today. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates certain champions who can stand up in the face of this difficulty. And we all need to stand up in the face of problems and difficulty. We all need to understand that sometimes Allah will test us. Shaitan will come to us. He will want to turn us away. He will want to divert us from the right path. But if we are going to be from amongst those who do nothing about it, we might just begin to follow his path. But if we are from amongst those who stand up, and we are from amongst those who make dua to Allah, and with the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his assistance, we will be able to overcome any problem that comes in our direction. In my country, there is a very strange history, which since the Sheikh has asked me to mention, I will very briefly speak to you about. Everywhere we go in the world, there is a difference between the Arabs and the Muslims who may have come to the countries as businessmen, as da'is, and for other reasons. And there is a difference between the Western powers that came in to colonize. When the colonialists came into any country, they came in very destructively. When the Muslims came in anywhere, they came in very constructively. When the Muslims came in to Zimbabwe, from the eastern part of Zimbabwe, they intermarried. And we all know in Islam, intermarriage, there is nothing wrong with it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam married from the different tribes and clans himself. They intermarried, they mixed with the people, they became one blood, they bonded. They were not there to exploit the resources of these people. They were not there to take away what these people had come with, or had what these people had had. But when the colonialists came, subhanallah, they exploited. They came to steal the land. And we know that. In every country, it is a fact. They came in, anyone in their path was killed. They killed hundreds of thousands of people in Zimbabwe. And they usurped the land. They took it and the struggle began. Just like what happened in Israel. What is happening in Palestine al-Mubarak, al-Quds, al-Muhtalla. What do we call it? The occupied territories. Don't we call it occupied territories? Because those territories have been occupied and stolen. So the same has happened in many countries. Zimbabwe is just an example. They came in. They stole the land. They killed the people. They drove them off. And these people began the resistance. Were these people who started the resistance, were they wrong or they were right? They were right. They suffered. They lost their lives in the process. Innocent people. Large tracts of land were stolen. And when they began the war, they were labeled terrorists. Subhanallah. Take a look here. Nelson Mandela, a champion of the cause. Was he not labeled a terrorist? He was. And the other freedom fighters, in reality, were labeled terrorists by the powers that were at the time. This was done so that the world would feel that the oppressors were actually those whose land was taken. Those who were correct wanted to be portrayed as oppressors. For that reason, they were labeled terrorists. The same applies to the Muslims today. So what had happened? After some time, and I'm cutting the history short. In 1979, when these colonialist powers decided that we are losing a lot, too many lives are being lost, we need to give back this land. How are we going to carry on? And how long are we going to carry on? So they took together some of their parties, some of the warring factions, some of the freedom fighters, the heads of the freedom fighters, and they went to the UK, to Britain, a place known as Lancaster. In Lancaster, they signed an agreement, the Lancaster House Agreement, very famous agreement. And they said that we will give this land back. That was the struggle. The struggle was for what? Was it for anything besides land? No, it was for land. When they had stolen the land didn't have anything on it. Mostly the land had small little huts and small buildings. But when these people came in, they stole the land, they developed the land, they built roads, they built houses, they built buildings in the cities, they invented and founded the cities. Does that mean now they must not give the land back? Does it mean if someone stole your farm, and you used to do nothing on that farm, but after they stole it, they came and they started producing a lot, does it mean that now you don't have a right to that farm of yours which was stolen? Tell me, in the Sharia, we've studied the Sharia. And I'm sure you know the basics of the Sharia. Can we justify production as ownership? Someone steals bare land and builds roads on it, builds big buildings on it. Can you say now that you've built, never mind it was my land, but now I lose my right to it because you have built on it? Is that what Islam teaches us? No, that is injustice. That is incorrect. That is not acceptable. Whether you have built on it or not, the land is mine. Whether you are productive and I am not, the land is still mine. Whether it is a bread basket or not, if it was a bread basket, it was a stolen bread basket. But I need my basket back. Whether I have bread in it or not, tomorrow is not your business. When the settlers came in, for the first 30 years, they didn't produce even a potato. It took them 30 years to start becoming productive. 30 years. After that, for another 70 years, they produced. But when they went to Lancaster, they agreed. They said, look, let us come to a compromise. What compromise do you want? We want our land. Okay. We will give you your land, but give us 10 years and we will release the land. The Zimbabwean was lenient enough to say, no problem. We give you 10 years. In 10 years, in 1990, you can give us back our land. And they said, what if we can't give you the land. What if we want to buy that land? We agree it is stolen. They agreed it is stolen property. We came in, we stole it, we seek forgiveness. And they were told in turn, you are forgiven. Never mind, we have reconciliation, we will live together. And they were told, subhanallah, amazing. They were told, okay, you can even buy the land from us. Let's agree on a figure. You want to buy the whole country from us. Imagine today you want to buy a small piece of land in Cape Town. You will pay millions of rands. Am I right or wrong? Right. Millions of rands. So what do you think the whole country will cost you? Billions of rands, if not trillions and more. A figure was agreed upon. If you don't want to come out, this is the calculation. We will calculate it on this. Anyone who wants to stay on the land, they must pay for it. Either you pay for it or you leave it. One of the two. So this agreement was signed. Almost 30 billion pounds were agreed upon, which is a large sum of money that would take the United Kingdom or Britain almost 10 years to pay. They would commence payment in 1990 or they would leave the land. Come 1990, and I'm cutting a long history short, neither did they leave the land nor did they pay for it. Now what happens? We've got to go back to our struggle again. We fought for the land. We were cheated into signing an agreement, and neither did the land come to us, nor did the money for the land come to us. This is the history. So, who is wrong here? The forces that refused are wrong, whether they were productive or not, whether the economy was the best in the world or not. That is besides the point. As Muslims, our decisions are not made as to who is financially stronger or richer and who is poorer. We don't look at that. We look at what is right and wrong. Justice will prevail. As Sheikh Umar Khabir was saying yesterday, that in Islam, not only will we defend our land, but we will defend every grain of sand, subhanAllah. That is the justice system of Islam. We will fight over a grain of sand. And if you are going to steal it from me on the day of Qiyamah, Qiyamah will not come to an end until every grain of sand is accounted for. Until every grain of sand is accounted for, subhanAllah. And thereafter the struggle began once again, meeting after meeting, until the settlers, who were now known as the minority of in the country, they refused totally. The forces that be and that were and that are in the West refused totally to pay. They said, look, your agreement you had with the previous government, we don't know what you're talking about. We are not interested. And the leaders in Zimbabwe, they decided, look, you either give it to us or we are going to go back and take the land back. Now we will take it by force. There was nothing wrong with that. Had these people sat down on the table and said, look, no problem, we will give you the land as we've agreed, but we can't give you all of it, we are weak, let's compromise. There would have been a compromise, definitely. But these people did not want compromise. They wanted everything. They wanted everything. So what had happened? For 8 years there was patience. From 1990 to 1998, every year there were meetings in Britain, in Zimbabwe, here, there, to say, look, please try and understand, we need. And in the meantime, the masses were bubbling and bursting. They wanted their land. They were demanding their land. Come on, you promised us this land, or you promised us payment in return. You are neither paying us, nor are you giving us the land. Until in 1998, January of 1998, the masses were given the green light. Go and take the land. There is nothing we can do now. Go and take it. So they went in. Any resistance was regarded as colonial resistance. The war was between the colonial power. Once again, in 1998, not very far ago, the war was between the colonial power, who did not honor the agreement that it had signed, and between the peasants and the masses, those who had fought the war and were known as war veterans. The youngsters, 10, 20 years old, they don't know the history of the country, believe me. They don't know it. They did not live in the times when the apartheid was there in Zimbabwe. They don't know what it felt like. Everyone from amongst the Muslims who is rich today, they owe their thanks after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to independence. They were granted opportunities after independence. They became rich after independence. Before independence, there were not opportunities. The colonial powers made sure that no one besides themselves was given any opportunity for anything. But unfortunately, most of us, we still have a weakness. Our minds, including the Muslims, we make our decisions based on money and economy and the price of bread and the price of milk. So what had happened? The colonial powers then put forward a man in the form of a local person, serving the interests of the same people who did not want to leave their land. And subhanallah, what was his trump card? His trump card was the economy. Look, under this leader, the economy has dropped. I will bring that economy back for you. That is Dajjal's statement in reality. Bring me in power and I will ensure that your currency is stronger, your food is cheap, you will get food and drink, and you will get clothing and accommodation, cheap, cheap. But wallahi, the masses voted. Not once, but every time they voted, it was proven that still the majority knew that we are not interested in finance and money and the power of the dollar. We are not interested in the economy. We are interested in what is right and wrong. We don't mind bread. You can charge us millions of dollars for one loaf. Starve us. We can do without bread. We will drink water from the river. We don't need water from the taps. You can cut our electricity. We will use candles, but we need our land. Subhanallah. But unfortunately, we still find certain people amongst the Muslims today who will tell you, no, the country has been run down. It's finished. It's in the dumps. Well, together we will start and inshallah we will move further. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us inshallah. So remember one thing, my advice to you today. Whenever we make a dua, Ya Allah, whatever is best for Islam and the Muslims, let it be. Rather than taking sides when we don't know who is right, who is wrong. There is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-qudatu thalatha. There are three types of judges. A judge who knows the truth and he rules with the truth on the side of the truth, he is in Jannah. But a judge who knows the truth and intentionally he rules on the other side because of some materialistic gain, he is in Jahannam. And a judge who judges without knowing the truth, he's also in Jahannam because he is not qualified enough to make a statement on something he doesn't know about. So with us, we have become judges in certain things in this world. Rather than saying this man is right and that man is wrong, make a dua to Allah. Ya Allah, whoever is right, help them. Ya Allah, whoever is wrong, either guide them or destroy them if you have not written guidance for them. This is the dua. When we make the dua of istikhara, what do we say? Allahumma in kana hadha al-amra khayrun li fi dini wa ma'ashi wa aqibatu amri. فَقْدِرْهُ لِي وَيَسِّرْهُ لِي ثُمَّ بَارِكْ لِي فِيهِ. Oh Allah, if this thing that I'm making istikhara about is good for me, if it is better for me, then grant me barakah in it. Make it easy for me. Make it easy for me. Why do we say that? Because we don't know. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ وَلَا نَعْلَمُ. You know, we don't know. أَنْتَ تَقْدِرُ وَلَا نَقْدِرُ. You are able, we are unable. Similarly, we say, Ya Allah, if this thing is bad for me, keep it away from me. Why don't we say, Ya Allah, I want it? Because we are taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that sometimes you might not know what goodness lies in on what side. You might not know. So make a dua to Allah. Ya Allah, if goodness is on this side, give me that. If goodness is on this side, give me that. If evil is on this side, keep that away from me. If evil is on the other side, keep that away from me. This is it. So the lesson we learn today is justice. Justice is much more important than anything else. So wallahi, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qumu kunu qawwamina bilqisti shuhada'a lillahi
ولو على أنفسكم أو الوالدين والأقربين.
O you who believe, stand firm on justice, even if it means the ruling happens to be against you or your parents or your relatives and friends. What is right will always remain right. Subhanallah. That is the lesson we have today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on justice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save our children also from injustice. And may Allah keep them also on the right path. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring us together in Jannah. I don't wish to take much more of your time, but I request your du'as and your prayers for myself, for yourselves, for our offspring, for the Muslim ummah. Wallahi, we are bleeding in Palestine. We are bleeding in Iraq. We are bleeding in Afghanistan. And I can go on and on. Wallahi, the list does not come to an end. And we know that. Let us raise our hands and make dua for these people, inshallah. And let us ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us peace to defend Islam and the Muslims. It is incorrect for anyone to say that, you know what, the Israelis are doing a good job in Palestine. They're building roads and making nice settlements. So we can't take the land back from them. Leave them. They're doing a better job than us. Subhanallah. That's the attitude of the Muslims today, some of us. But regarding Palestine, we all know we can't do that. So why do we do it regarding Zimbabwe? To say, no man, the economy's dropped. These people built buildings. Now there's no more production. The farmlands are wasted. Why? The tobacco's not of the same quality. That is the Dajjal attitude. So what? We don't need tobacco. We don't need anything. We will come up slowly. They took 30 years to come up. We've only had the land for 5 years. Give us another 10 years. You'll see, inshallah. Make dua for us. The problem is you want to curse us. This is what the Muslim ummah is doing. Because our whole attitude, our whole criteria of thinking has been changed. We think with the laws and the rules of the dunya. And we think money and finance. Whereas money and finance means nothing when it comes to comparing it to La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And to haqq. What is haqq will remain haqq forever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on haqq. Jazakumullah khair wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.